shiur is Daf Pei Aleph. We're going to begin at the Mishnah on Daf Pei Amud Beis, the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah discusses which food can be used to make an Erev Chatzeres or Shtuf Mevois. B'kol Ma'arvim Mishtatrim, any food could be used to make an Erev or Shtuf, Chutz Min HaMayim Min HaMelech, except for water or salt. Rashi says that water and salt are disqualified to be used as an Erev, because since they don't give nourishment, they're not considered a food as far as being able to be used for an Erev. The Yerushalmi says the reason that water and salt cannot be used to make an Erev is because they represent klola, they represent curse. Water reminds us of the Mabul, and salt, we know that the wife of Lot turned into a Netziv Melech, to a pillar of salt, when Hashem turned over Sodom. And since they represent klola, they should not be used for an Erev Chatzeres. The Paradis Yosef explains a Medrash based on this Yerushalmi. The Medrash says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned over the city of Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaMechasa Ani Me'Avraham, will I conceal from Avraham Ashani Oisa, what I'm going to do, that I'm going to turn over the city of Sodom. And the Medrash continues, Shaharei Avraham Avinu Erev Chatzeres Gilisiloi, I told him about Erev Chatzeres, so certainly I should tell him about the fact that I'm turning over the city of Sodom. And the Farshim ask, obviously, what is the connection between the turning over of the city Sodom and Erev Chatzeres? However, the Paradis Yosef explains, based on the Medrash that we just quoted, that since Sodom teaches us that we can't use salt for an Erev Chatzeres, so HaKadosh Baruch was telling Avraham Avinu, of course I have to tell Avraham Avinu about what I'm going to do at Sodom, because he will have to know it to know the halacha that he can't use salt for Erev Chatzeres. Continues the Mishnah. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. This is what Rabbi Elazar holds. Rabbi Shua, however, says, Kiko Erev, only a whole loaf of bread can be used for an Erev. Afilo mafasa, even if somebody bakes a loaf from a saw flour, which is a lot of flour, viperusa, but it's broken, ema avimba, it cannot be used for an Erev. And kika keisser, but if he has a loaf the size of an isser, that means it's a small loaf, this is just the size of a silver coin, others say pshat keisser means that he only used an isser, which is a small amount of money, to buy flour to make a loaf, for hushalim, however, it's complete, it's a whole loaf, ma'avimba, it can be used for a Erev. Begins the Gemara. Ask the Gemara the first statement about what food can be used for an Erev and what food can't be used for an Erev. Tanina Chadazimna was already taught, because we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chavav Amabeis, B'kol Ma'avim Mishtatvim, anything can be used for Erev Chatzeres or Shtufim Avos, Chutz Min HaMayim HaMelech, except for water and salt. So why does our Mishnah have to repeat this then? Amar Rava, so Rava answers, Lefukim Mir Rabbi Shua. The reason our Mishnah repeated this ruling at the beginning of the Mishnah, even though it's a ruling that we already learned, to tell us that we don't agree with what Rabbi Shua said. Domer, we just learned Rabbi Shua said, Kikor in. Only a whole loaf of flat bread can be used. Midachrin aloi, that nothing else, Kamashim on Bekoil. Therefore, our Mishnah repeats this din to teach us that according to Rabbi Elazar, Erev Chatzeres can be made with all types of food, even wine and fruit. It doesn't have to be bread. Not like Rabbi Shua that said it has to be bread. Eisve Abaya, so asks Abaya, Bekol Ma'arvin Erev Chatzeres, it says in a Braisa, we could use any type of food for Erev Chatzeres. Anything can be used for Shtufim Avos. Chazal told us that when a Ruvi Chatzer is El Bechatz Bavad, you have to use bread. Man Shamatle, the Omar, who's the one that says pass in, that only bread can be used? Midachrin Eloi, nothing else. Rabbi Shua, the Tani Bekol, yet the Braisa that says that Erev Chatzeris can be made with all types of food, and it says the word all, it actually means all types of bread. So therefore, in our Mishnah, we should say the same thing, that when Rabbi Lezer says Bekol Ma'avim, he means all types of bread can be used for Erev Chatzeris, but it has to be bread, no other type of food, just like we have to explain in the Braitza that the Braitza uses the word bakol and it doesn't mean any type of food, it only means bread. The point of the Reisha of saying bakol ma'arvin is to disagree with Rabbi Shua. Domar, Rabbi Shua said shleima in, that as we just learned and will learn, that you according to Rabbi Shua you have to use a whole loaf of bread. Prus aloi benat, a broken piece of a bread, kamashmal bakal. That's why Rabbi Lezer teaches us that no, you can use a broken loaf. But Rabbi Lezer agrees that it has to be bread. It can't be another item. So just to review, according to the first pshat in the Gemara, the bakal came to teach us that it could be any type of food, not specifically bread, but that has been disproven from the fact that the Braitzi uses the word bakol and it means specifically bread. So therefore we say that the Machloikas Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua is that both agree it has to be bread. However, Rabbi Lezer says it doesn't have to be a whole bread, and Rabbi Shua says it has to be a whole loaf. Ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shua, uprusa maitamaloi, why can't you use a broken loaf? And to the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef ben Shol Amar Rebbe, Mishum Eva, because of ill will. That means, the way Rashi explains, that if one person is going to give a whole loaf of bread, and the other person is only going to give a slice of bread, so it's going to bring to machlokes, it's going to bring to animosity. I gave a whole nice loaf, and you only gave a piece of bread. And as the Rishonim explained, the purpose of Erev, as the word Erev represents, means to come together. It's to engender goodwill, and this will only engender just the opposite. However, the Eliyahu Rabbah explains that really the reason not to use what Eva means a lot deeper. As we have learned many times, there's a halacha, Hamakbir al Eruvoi. Eruve Einar Erev. If somebody contributes to an Erev, but he doesn't really allow the other members of the Erev to take from his food, the Erev is not a valid Erev. So according to that, says the Eliyahu Rabbah, if I gave a loaf, and my neighbor didn't give a loaf, and that will cause me to be makbid, to be upset, and not want my neighbor to take from my Erev, the Erev will be disqualified. So Mepharshim explained there's a very big nafkamina between these two pshatim. According to the first pshat, it's Eva. We don't want ill will. But that doesn't mean the Erev would be disqualified. But if the reason is because HaMakbar al Eruvoi, Eruvoi ain't an Erev, then the Erev would actually be disqualified if a prusa was used. Amle Rav Acha Bered Ravel Rav Ashi. If everybody donated only a broken piece, mahu, what is the halacha? Amalei, Rashi said, we're concerned that it could come to a problematic situation, meaning that there'll be a time where one person will give a whole loaf and other people will just give broken pieces, and in order to avoid that problem, Chazal said that under all circumstances we should use whole loaves. Now, the halacha is that you're supposed to use a whole loaf. And Rishonim point out a question. We know, as we've learned many times, halacha kedivrei ha-mekel be'erev. As far as Hilchos Erev is concerned, we always follow the mekel. Yet here, we're being machmer, that we're going to say you have to use a whole loaf, and a broken piece is not kosher for an Erev. Why are we machmer? So they say a number of reasons. First of all, the man, the Omer that's arguing with Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Lezer. And we know Rabbi Lezer Shemutihu. Rabbi Lezer was Talmide Beshamai, and we usually don't paskin like Talmide Beshamai. Another reason, the Rishonim explain why we don't paskin, why we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Since we see that the Gemara, Rav, and other Meroim went out of the way to explain Rabbi Yeshua's psak, it must be that that was the psak that was accepted, that the halacha is that way. Now, there's an interesting rush that quotes the Maram Rattenberg that says that, let's say somebody is donating all of the Erev for everybody, as we've learned many times. One of the ways you could make an Erev is that if one person donates the food for the whole chotzer, the Erev is a kosher Erev. There, says the Maram Rattenberg, you could use a loaf of, you could use a broken piece of broken piece. You don't have to use a whole loaf. Because the whole reason you have to use a whole loaf, as we just explained in Mishum Eva, I gave a whole loaf and my neighbor didn't. But if one person is giving the Erev for everybody, so that there's no concern for Eva, and therefore the Salocha doesn't apply. However, Delior Rabba, and Mefarshim explained Delior Rabba based on his psak, why a broken piece of bread is not acceptable. Because there, when you have a group donating, we can have a shayla if the Erev is kosher, even by the Evid with a broken piece of bread, says that even if one person is giving the whole Erev for everybody, we should still be makbid that it should be a whole loaf, not just a piece. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Shaul, Nitloy mena kedei chalosay. If from the loaf of bread, the size of the challah portion, we know that when a person bakes a loaf of bread, from the dough he has to take off challah. If the size of a challah portion, or kedei demua, was removed, ma'arvim abah. Now the definition of kedei demua is a machloikus. Rashi explains kedei demua is that the halacha is that if truma, which a Yisrael may not eat, falls into food which is not truma, the shear is 100 to 1. That means if you have 100 non-truma food and you have 1 pound of truma food, that pound doesn't asser the rest of the truma, and if you take out the amount of truma that fell in and give that amount to a kohen, you could eat the rest of the food. So if you have to break off from the loaf the amount that you have to give for challah, which we'll discuss in a moment, or the amount that you have to give when the truma falls into non-truma, which is 100, then it will not disqualify the loaf of bread. So Tosfos asked the question, why does the Gemara have to mention both kedei chalosoi and kedei dimua? Kedei chalosoi, as we're going to learn, is either 1/24th, 1/48th, we're going to learn, and kedei chal is 1/100th. So if it doesn't, if it's not a problem by kedei chal, which is 1/48th, it's certainly not a problem by kedei dimua, which is 1/100th, half the amount. Therefore, though, the Rishonim explain that kedei demua does not mean the amount of truma that fell into non-truma. It means the amount that we take off a truma, which is generally 1/50th. So then, the shear is the same amount. It's 1/48th and 1/50th. V'tanya asked the Gemara, kedei demua, if the amount of truma was removed from the loaf of bread, ma'avin labah, it still could be used for an erev. Kedei chalasa, but if the amount that's given for challah fell off, that loaf can no longer be used for an Erev. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Ha, b'chalas nachtam. It makes a difference, the bread of a professional breaker. Ha, b'chalas balabayis, or the bread of a private person baking in his home. Tatnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Challah. Shir chal echad me'asrim v'arba. The amount of chal that has to be removed from the dough is 1/24th. Ha'oisi yisal atzman. That's for somebody who bakes dough for himself, or bakes dough for his son's wedding party. The shear is 1/24th. However, Nachdem Shoyt Limke Bashok, a baker who makes bread to sell in the market, Vechene Isha Shoyt Limke Bashok, or a woman who makes bread to sell at the market, Har Deshir is Echem V'Arbam Shemoyne, 148th. And the reason for this difference is as follows. The Torah wants that we should give the Koyin Chala, Kedai Nesino, an amount that's given. So a professional baker generally bakes a large dough. So even if we're just going to take off 148th, it will still be a significant amount of dough that we're giving to the Kohen. However, a private person in his home makes smaller doughs, and if we're only going to take off 148th, we're not going to end up giving the Kohen a decent amount. That's why there the shear is 124th. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The amount that's baked by a baker, so that's only 148th, that doesn't disqualify the dough. The amount baked by a private person is 124th, that already disqualify the dough. Now there's a very fundamental machloikis, Tosfos and the Rosh, how to approach this thing that we just learned. Tosfos says that the situation here is that we had a challah, we had a whole loaf, and from that loaf, the challah wasn't removed. So the Gemara is teaching us that if you take off 148th, it won't disqualify that loaf. But Tosfos says, let's say you'll have a loaf which is 100% fine. Even if you take off a small amount, the 148th, that would disqualify that the dough, that the loaf is not a whole loaf, and it will not be considered kosher to be used for Neirif. The Rosh, however, learns that it has nothing to do if the loaf had its challah removed or didn't have its challah removed. Rather, what the Gemara is teaching us, says the Rosh, is that if such a small amount is missing from the loaf, a 148th is missing from the loaf, that is so insignificant that the loaf could still be considered a sholem, it could still be considered a whole bread and be kosher for an Erev. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh. Now, the Chacham Tzvi says that this Shaila is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. We know that for Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, we have to use a whole loaf. Says the Chacham Tzvi, the machloikis of Tosfos and Rosh will be relevant if you have a challah missing a small amount. According to Tosfos, even if it's just missing a small amount, it's already not a sholem and cannot be used for Lechem Mishnah. But according to the Rosh, our Gemara is teaching us that even if it's just missing a small amount, if it's only missing a small amount, it could still be considered kosher for Erev Chatzeres, it could still be considered a sholem, and it will be kosher to be used for Lechem Mishnah also. And that's the way most Paiskim Paskin, that if you have a challah and it's missing a small amount, you can use it for Lechem Mishnah if it's only missing a 48th. The Kabban Nisanel disagrees. The Kabban Nisanel says that this leniency was only stated regarding the halachas of Erev, where the halach, where the requirement to contribute a shlema only stems for concern of Eva, and therefore a slightly chipped loaf will not cause Eva and kosher. However, regarding Lechem Mishnah, a loaf that is not 100% complete, according to the Kabban Nisanel, is considered a prusa and is not kosher for Lechem Mishnah. Continues the Gemara discussing what you can do if your loaf is not whole. Amar Rav Chisda, Tofer B'Kisim, if somebody takes a piece, a splinter, a piece of wood, to put together a loaf that it should look whole, Ma'avim L'ba, can be used, that loaf could still be used for Erev Chatzeres. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, we learned in the Brayse, a Ma'avim L'ba, it can't be used for Erev Chatzeres. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha, Hodi Yadat Tfira, if it's noticeable that it's broken and being put together, it's not kosher for an Erev Chatzeres. Hadloi Yadat Tfira, if it's not noticeable, then it's kosher. And again, the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rokeach, applies this rule to Lacha Mishnah. He says, if somebody only has a broken loaf of bread, he could reattach the pieces with a toothpick to form a shleima for Lacha Mishnah. It's interesting that the Tshuva Space Yaakov applies this halacha even to an esrig, whose ukitz, whose stem falls off, that we know the halacha is, then esrig, which has no portion of its stem remaining, it's pasul. However, he says, if the stem is reattached with a needle, the esrig will still be considered a kosher esrig. However, the Shvus Yaakov disagrees, and he holds that an esrig must be complete in a natural state. He says, reattaching a detached piece of esrig through a non-natural means, a toothpick, a needle, would not make it kosher, would still be remain disqualified for the mitzvah of esrig. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara discusses how you could bake this bread, what grains could be used for this bread that I want to use for Erev Chatzeres. Omar Reb Zeira Omar Shmuel Ma'avim V'bas Oriz V'pas Toichen. We can make Erev Chatzeres with rice bread or millet bread. Omar Marukva L'di M'fashle M'ma'avim V'shmuel V'pas Oriz Ma'avim. You could use rice bread or pas Toichen E'ma'avim. You can't use millet bread. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashev and Omar Rav Ma'avim V'pas Adoshen. You can make an Erev with lentil bread. Eini asked the Gemara V'hi Da'avim V'shnei D'ma Shmuel. There was a type of lentil bread, which was in the time of Shmuel, v'shadil l'kab v'loyachla, it was thrown to his dog, and the dog did not eat it. So we see that it's entirely not considered a bread. And in fact, the Paiskim used this Gemara for a halacha concept. And halacha, we find many times the concept of roi l'achilas kelev. If something is or is not edible by a dog, if it's considered a food, and they say, here we see that that is a test for the acceptability of a food. Is it a food? Answered Gemara, Huy de Shaminim Hava. That loaf was made from other varieties of flour. That's why it was inferior. Tiksiv, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Vat kachel chachitim v'sayrim, take wheat and barley, upul v'adashim, beans and lentils, v'doichin millet, uksamim and spelt, and Yecheskel was told to make a very inferior loaf of bread from this mixture. So we see that only a mixture of these flours make it invalid for an Erev. But something made out of plain lentils, that bread is still considered bread. But Papa Amar, the reason that that bread was so inferior, because it's sluya b'tsoyas adam havoy, it was roasted over human waste. And this mixture you should bake with human waste before the eye. The pasuk continues, "May v'ugas oyim techlena." What does it mean? You should eat it like barley bread. Amar chizal shiurim. It eaten by measure. Even though it's such an inferior bread, made in such a horrible way, and it was made out of such cheap material, it was eaten l'shiurim. It was eaten by measure. Even that was rationed out. Rapapama, a rivasa kriva serim, its shape was like the ugly shape of barley bread. Barley bread was shaped in a non-appetizing way. Velaika rivas chitim, not like wheat bread, which is shaped a nicer way. Before we begin the next Mishnah, which discusses procedures and ways of purchasing a shear in an Erev Chatzeres or Shutuf Mavaz, we have to say a word of introduction. As we've mentioned, in fact, just recently, the halacha is that when somebody does a business transaction, the halacha is that we have to have a kinyan to make the transaction effective. Now, the halacha is that Mos Eino Koinus, which means that if you pay for something, that doesn't make it into a kinyan. A kinyan has to be affected through one of the darchei kinyan, which means hagbah, lifting it, mishicha, pulling it, not just mos. Begins the Mishnah. Noisen odem mo lenachta, lechavov lenachtem. A person can give a mo amount of money to a grocer or a baker, kadesh yiskalay erif, so the grocer or a baker to give him ownership in the Erev. Divrei Rebbe Elazar. That's what Rebbe Elazar holds. But the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Lo Yizoch Ma'osav, his money does not acquire the Erev from him. Since, explained the Chachamim, monetary payment is not a kinyan, so therefore, the person who paid for this loaf, and like the Rishonim explained, to this baker who the person is giving money to, he's also a neighbor in this chatzar or in this mavui. But since this person said, I'm paying for the loaf, but paying for the loaf doesn't make a kinyan. It doesn't make a valid transaction. So therefore, this purchaser never owned the loaf, and he never contributed to the Erev. And that's why, according to Chachamim, it's not a valid Erev. And that is a very fundamental machloikis, Tosfos and the Rosh. What happens if the baker, when he contributes a loaf, says, I'm not contributing it because the money that purchaser gave me. I'm contributing to him because I'm contributing all the bread for the Erev of this chatzar, for all the neighbors, including for the neighbor who gave me money. Will now that Erev be a good Erev or not? Tosfos says that the Erev will still be invalid. Since the person who gave the money demonstrated that he doesn't want a free portion in the Erev, he doesn't want anything for free, he wants to pay. And he wants to acquire it. But the way he attempted to acquire it is an invalid way of acquiring it. Because as we explained, Mayus ain't a coins, giving money is not an effective way of doing a kinyan. This Erev will be not kosher. That's how Tosfos learns. However, the Rosh, and many Rishonim explain that that's what Rashi also holds, that if the Chanvani, if the baker, specifically had in mind that he's not paying attention to the money that the purchaser gave him. Rather, he's giving everybody a loaf of bread, or loaves of bread, that it should work for all the neighbors, and he's not paying attention to the money that was given, there, the money will be, then the error will be effective, even though he gave money, which is not a valid derech kinyan. There are two interesting connections that the Rishonim making this point. They say there may be a difference if there are other neighbors or not. That means as follows. If the chenvani, if the baker, is giving the bread for other neighbors who didn't give him money, so for them certainly his giving the bread will be effective. So since it's effective for them, it will also be effective for the person who gave the money. Only time the Chachamim disagree, they say, is if the only two people in this chatzar are the baker and the person who gave the money. There, Tosfos will say that he didn't have a mind to rely on the free gift of the baker. But if there are other people, and for them the free thing that the baker is giving is certainly effective, then he'll get included with them. The Rashba seems to have a pshat, which is a compromise pshat between Tosfos and the Rosh. He says, by a ruvei tchumim, if somebody gave the money, there we can't rely on the baker, even if the baker intends to give it for free. Because since, as we're going to learn, a ruvei tchumim is not a schus, because whatever you gain, as we explained many times, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So there, if I said to the baker, I want to pay, that we follow exactly what I said. However, by ruvei chetzeres, which we're going to learn soon, is a schus, there we're more lenient, and if the baker had a mind, says the Rashba, to give it to me for free, even though I had previously given him money, it will be effective. However, says the Mishnah, Umaydim, the Chacham agree, B'Shah Kaladim, that regarding other people who are not bakers or own bakeries, that even though the resident gave him money with which to buy a portion of the Erev, Shezach Lema'isuf, that his money acquires for him ownership in a portion of the Erev food. So as Rashi explains, although the person giving money to the baker and the person giving money to someone who's not the baker is saying the exact same thing, still, since ordinary people do not sell loaves of bread, he's not in the business of selling bread, what this person who gave him money intended to do was to appoint the other person to act as a shliach to make an Erev. And the money wasn't provided for the bread, The money was provided for the service, and that is fine, and therefore even the Chacham will agree that the Erev will be a kosher Erev. She'em ma'arav l'adam el midatoy. Says the Mishnah that we can only make an Erev for a person according to his consent. So this has two pshatim. Number one, it means that if I ask the baker that I want to buy into a loaf of bread, somebody can't say that I meant that it should be my shliach, because it means what I said. And it means that we always have to follow the person's instructions. Amar Rav Yehuda, however, Rav Yehuda says, where was this said that das is required, that consent is required? Beruvet chumim, beruvet chetzeres. Regarding beruvet chetzeres, ma'am ladata v'shloi ladata. We can make an erev both with the person's consent or without his consent. We could do benefit a person in his absence, but we can't do something to disadvantage without his consent. As we've explained, a ruvach hetzeris is to a person's advantage, because he can carry in the chatzar. There's no downside. But a ruvach tchumim, there's a downside, because whatever I carry to get in one direction, I lose in the other direction. Therefore, a ruvach hetzeris, a ruvach tchumim can only be made with das, with consent. Ask the Gemara. My Talmud Reb Elezer, as we explained when we started this Mishnah, midaraisa, we know the mas enos kinos, that you can't make a transaction, you can't make a kinyan with money. If I, the person, the purchaser by the baker, only gave money, so the Erev is not a valid Erev, because I didn't do an effective kinyan in owning that bread. So how could the Gemara say, how could Rabbi Elazar say, ask the Gemara, that Erev is a valid Erev? Says the Gemara, Haloi Mashach, he didn't do a kinyan. He only gave money, and money is not an effective kinyan. Amar of Nachman, Amar Bavua, also Rabbi Elazar Gedalik Prokum Shana. Rabbi Elazar treated this situation like four times of the year. Where Allah is, there are four times of the year, four Erev Yontifs. The Gemara Mishnah Techulin says, Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yontif of the last days of Sukkot, and some say also Erev Yom Kippur. Taisa says the Erev Sukkot is not included, because in Erev Sukkot people are not busy thinking about food, they're busy thinking about the lulav and the esrig and the sukkah. That there, the halacha is that a mos, just giving money, does affect the kinyan. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Badal Prakim Elu, these four times, Meshchit Nesatavach Bakarchai, we could force somebody to slaughter a whole animal against his will. Because as we've explained, in the ancient times, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers. So they did not slaughter an animal until all the pieces of the animal were effectively sold. They couldn't slaughter an animal and whatever wasn't sold be put into the refrigerator or freezer. They had no. But on these four Erev Yomtifs, where Chazal wanted that people should have meat available for Yontif, a few shor shav elef dinner, even if you have an animal which is worth 1,000 dinner, and the customer only wants to buy a dinner worth of meat, we force the butcher to shech the animal. Lefikach, a mace, if it dies, and there's a loss, it's in the nevela, it can't be eaten, mace lekeach, the customer takes his share in the loss. Ask the Gemara, Meis l'lekeach, if it dies, the customer is responsible. Haloi Mashach, he didn't make a kinyan. Om Rav Huna says, B'shamashach, we're talking where the customer made a kinyan in the animal. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Yachay, Eimu Seifa, let's understand the next part of that Mishnah. B'shay, Meis Hashan, Enekein. The rest of the year, it's different. L'fikach Meis, if the animal dies before the butcher shechted the animal, meis lemoicher, the butcher takes the entire loss. Ask the Gemara if we're explaining that Mishnah is talking about that the customer already made a kinyan. Hamashach, he made a kinyan. If he made a kinyan, why is he not responsible? Amar, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, loyel mishloim mashach, he did not make a kinyan. Hachem ha'iskinen, b'shazikaloy ayideyachem. But we're explaining a case where the butcher conferred ownership through somebody else for the customer. Bedal prakamela, doing these four erev yontif, this chusaloi, it's a benefit for the customer that he should have meat for yontif, zochen loy shaloi befonov, sort of kinyan, the transaction is a valid transaction, and that's why it's his, and if it dies, it's his loss. B'shayim ma'isa shana d'chay v'loi, the rest of the year, where it's not such an advantage to buy meat, ein chom loy el befonov, somebody else can't take ownership from me without my permission, and therefore, without my consent, and therefore I'm not an owner in it, and if it dies, I'm not responsible, I, the customer. Elam Rabbi Yochanan have a different explanation. Bedal prokem elu, hamidu chacham devrei mel devrei Torah. These four times of the year, Chazal reverted to biblical law. Explains Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan. Dvat Torah mois kainis. Midoi reisa, paying for something should affect the kinyan. Just like Mashiach, just like Agbar. Why did Chazal say that only when the purchaser lifted the item or brought the item into his reshus is there a transaction? Giving money is not. Gzeira, because they made a gzeira that the seller shouldn't say nisra fuchatayich baliyah, your wheat was burned in the attic, which means like this: if somebody buys something from somebody else and he were to pay, and then, chas v'shalom, there's a fire in the warehouse when it's still by the seller, he'll have no incentive to save it because he already got paid. That's why Chazal said that it's not the buyer's until he takes physical possession of the goods in order to acquire ownership. That will make sure that the seller will guard the goods until their delivery. However, just like on the Erev Yontif, Chazal waived their rule, and they said that on Erev Yontif, the halacha is that mos koinus, that we revert back to the biblical law, and just paying for something is enough. So too, Chazal said, is the halacha as far as Erev, we according to Beleza, and we revert back to biblical rule, and paying for something confers ownership, and that's why if I pay the baker for the loaf, just paying him without any kinyan according to Beleza will make me an owner of that loaf, and I can therefore contribute it for the Erev Chatzeris. Or the first pshat in the Gemara is that it's like Erev Yontif, that if it was Zichlei Dei Acher, since it's a schus, since Erev Chatzeris is a benefit, combined with the fact that somebody else was zoichen it, that was the way ownership was conferred on it, on my behalf, Rebbe Lezer will hold that it's an effective Erev. There's a very interesting shaila in the Achroinim. Do we say this concept of Maas Koinos, that we revert back to biblical law, that just giving money is enough to affect the kinyan by all divrei mitzvah? That means, let's say somebody bought wine for Kiddush and Shabbos, that the way we explained, the wine is not the buyer's until he does a kinyan, hagbah mishicha. Will we say, since he bought the wine, letzorich mitzvah, even though he just paid for it and didn't do anything else, that the halach is that the kinyan is a kinyan? The tzois hachoshen brings down various different shitas about the shayla. Continues the Gemara, umayd mishak kol adam. The Mishnah said that other people, there, if he gave them money, it will give him a share in the Erev. Matcha kaladim, ask them, what does that mean? Somebody who's not a merchant. There, when I gave him money, it's obvious that I didn't give him money to buy the loaf. I gave him money to be my shliach, to accomplish my goal of making an Erev on my behalf. Kenam Shmuel, balabais. That's talking that I just gave a regular person, not a baker, not a grocery. The Chachamim were only makbid if I gave money to the baker. That's where the area will not be effective. Abalabayas, if I gave it to the Balabayas, Kona, it will be an effective Erev. This is only if I gave money to the baker. So as we've explained, giving money will not be an effective kinyan, and that's why the Erev the challah is not considered the buyer's and will not be a good Erev. Ava kli, but if he gave him a utensil, koina could be koina. Because as we explained, one of the ways of affecting kinyan is through chalipin, where the person gives the other person an item, which is a symbolic kinyan, and therefore that's an effective kinyan. And if the buyer gave the grocer, the baker, a chalipin, the kinyan will be a kinyan. The Chazal only said where he told the merchant, confer ownership for it upon me. And giving money doesn't affect ownership, as we've been explaining. But if the buyer told the baker, make an error for me, shliach shavi, it's obvious that its intention wasn't to buy the loaf. And the buying is not a buying, the transaction not a transaction, by just giving money. What his intention was, shliach shavye, to appoint him as a shliach, as an agent to make the error for him. The kanin, then he's no different than the balabas. I could always ask one of my neighbors, even if I give him money, to be a shliach, and the error will be an effective error.